To preach the word of God today, and we want to see what God will do in the house. Somebody shout a little bit and give God some praise.
One more time, clap your hands unto the Lord. Give God a shout of praise. Magnify and exalt his holy name. Woo. Come on, has God been good to anybody this week? On this Sunday morning, did you wake you up in your right mind? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's so good to be back in God's house one more time. There's a lot of things we could be doing, but there's nothing any better than being in the house of the Lord.
Well, I had about seven people that agreed with me right there. I said, there's nothing any better than being in the house of the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Ma'am, you have your Bibles this morning, the book of Judges, Judges chapter 16. Very familiar story. And while you're turning there again, let me say what an honor and a privilege it is to be here, to stand in this pulpit. I think of this pulpit like David. He came to the temple and they said, do you have a weapon? They said, no, just the sword of Goliath. He said, well, there's none like that one. So that's just kind of how I feel about New Life Birmingham. There's none like it. And amen. Amen. And I want to give honor this morning to Bishop Sutton. I love him. Absolutely love this family. And amen. Yeah, that's an order. That's an order. And what a tremendous legacy he has built and is building. And that's the cool thing about Bishop Sutton. And he just don't ever quit. So he keeps on going. And, of course, my good friend Pastor Collins, we got to sit down last night, eat a little bite, and we solved everything. So if y'all are wondering when the news breaks today that all the world's problems have been solved, just know it was us. We did it, and we fixed them all, every last one of them. There are no more problems left. We fixed them all. Amen. Oh, I'm kidding. But I do enjoy a good time of fellowship with Brother Collins and Brother Reggie. And this, again, I can't say enough about this wonderful family and how much I love them and this wonderful church. Judges 16 and 18, the Bible says, and when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand, and she made him sleep upon her knee. She called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. There's a lot to be said there. Maybe we'll get to some of it here today. Verse 21, but the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, took away his vision, brought him down to Gaza and put him with fetters, bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. And if you read this story from this point of view right here, it's really not a very good story. Matter of fact, it's one that you kind of want to pull the covers over your head and say, surely this can't be happening to somebody that has lived for God. Verse 22 gives us light of the entire story. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Howbeit, in spite of, despite the fact that they had shaved him, the hair of his head began to grow again. If God will help us today, I want to preach just for the next little while about secondary succession. Secondary succession. Would you help me right now by lifting your hands and your voice to heaven, asking the Lord to help us in this place? God, we love you. We praise you. Give you glory and honor and thanks. There's nobody like you in heaven or in earth. You're so good to your people. Come on, would you help me pray right now? Jesus, we believe that you're in this house to do a great work, to do a mighty work. Nobody can do the things that you do, but we're asking you, Lord, to do that right now. Whatever it is that you want to do, do it in this house. We can't do it on our own, but God, we surrender our will and our way to you. Have your way today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone, would you just give the Lord one more big hand clap of praise? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, I think it'd be all right if we just took an extra few moments right here and told him thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your breakthrough. Thank you for making a way out of no way. Thank you for opening up doors that no man can see. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the fear of the Lord. Most of us that have had any connection to Sunday school, had any connection at all to the Bible, study of the Word of God, know Samson. He is known undoubtedly for his strength, his agility, fiery pranks, and so on and so forth. The champion judge of Israel, the one who from birth God called and appointed to be a great leader. And it is here in our text this morning that he has now been defeated. The Philistines have more than once tried to trap him to no avail, but on the same hand, he has more than once fell in love with a Philistine woman, and Samson has repeatedly flirted with the line between sin and salvation. He has taken honey from the carcass of a dead animal, which according to the Nazarite vow, he's already broken that. That wasn't broken when he cut his hair. He wasn't supposed to touch any unclean things. And his dad begged him not to marry a Philistine to no avail. But we know the story. Samson had an eyes for the things of the world and a heart for the things of God. There's a lot to be said about the sin of Samson. I could take just a moment and talk about the fact that he wanted to fit in with his modern day world. But the truth was that Samson was never called to fit in with his world. God appointed him from birth to stand out in his world. The enemy, I believe, knows the very moment of the downfall of man. I don't want to give the adversary any credit today, but I would just quote one older preacher when he said he's a pretty good devil. He knows exactly how to be a devil. He's been doing it a long time. He's got it figured out. And I believe that he recognizes the exact moment that a man or a woman begins to fall prey to that which his attraction of sin is pulling them towards. He recognizes when someone has a desire for the things of the world. I'm here to tell you today, as the Bible says, surely he is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we see that begins to take place in Samson's life with just subtle things like a simple trip to Timnath, which literally means forbidden. And I wish I had time to preach about how there was a spiritual stronghold set up there in the book of Exodus, but I don't have time to go there. It was the place where Judah, even beyond that, was supposed to be a righteous man, had an affair with Tamar's daughter-in-law, and Zerah's handed, I believe, a generation, the child that is born from that is handed a generational curse of lust. And then we go on down, and again, I don't have time to get into all of that, but from Genesis chapter 38 on through the book of Exodus, it becomes a place of compromise. Now the Philistines control it, and Timnath is a place that you can go and you can live for God on Sunday, and you can live however else you want to live for the rest of the week. It was a melting pot of religion, so to speak. And so the Bible tells us that Samson goes down to Timnath, and so begins his journey downward. And again, I don't have time to preach this, but I do believe that that is why the Bible instructs us to flee the very appearance of evil. And so time evolves, and Samson's first wife is burnt, and then he makes an attempt after Delilah, who we know bugs him until eventually he gives the secret of how God told his parents that he was to be a Nazarite and not to let the hair of his head be cut. And so he goes to sleep on her lap, and she calls for a razor, and they cut off the 7 locks of his head. And then the Bible tells us that they call for the Philistines, and Samson decides that he will shake himself like he's always done and get up and leave. And the Bible tells us that he did not recognize that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. So the Philistines come in and they gouge out his eyes and they put him in shackles, doing the job of an animal in a prison cell. And the sad thing is at one point in time, each and every one of us have fell prey to the same thing that Samson had fell prey to. I may not be preaching to everyone today, but I want to preach just for a few moments to the ones that feel as if they are a casualty of Delilah. You have been downtrodden, you are depressed, and the voice of Delilah has convinced you into giving up on God, and you feel as if Samson felt when he realized that the Spirit of the Lord had departed. You feel that God has departed from you, and the guilt of whatever it is that you have done has convinced you that you might pray, but you can never pray the way that you prayed again. You might outreach, but you will never be effective again. You may never teach another Bible study. But can I tell you what the Scripture tells us today in our Scripture text, that after they had done all that they could, and they had captured him and blinded him and put him into slavery, walking around in circles, the Philistines forgot the simple fact that his strength was in his hair. And after a few weeks of being in captivity, the Bible says, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again. I want someone today that feels as even though, like Samson, you have sinned and you have fell away from God, and that you have been stripped from whatever it is that connected you to the miraculous, I'm here to tell you today that the hair of your head is going to begin to grow again. You may not have it all like you had it before, but all God needs is just a little bit of stubble growing on the top of your head for the miraculous to take place in your life. I'm telling you, what you did or what happened in your life, that might have been out of your control. It doesn't matter to me what happened or what didn't happen. But one thing I can tell you for sure is that God is the God of secondary succession. That God is a God that all he needs is a little bit to work with. He don't need you to have it all together. He just needs you to be willing to allow him to work in your life. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell somebody on this Sunday morning, if you'll just let me preach it the way that I feel, that if God can use that little bit of stubble on Samson's head, you need to stop letting the devil beat you up, because there's a little bit of stubble on your head. You don't have to be condemned. The hair's growing back. You don't have to walk away from God. The hair's growing back. I wish somebody just in the spirit would reach up and say, I might have been down, but I'm not out, because I can feel the stubble. I can feel the hair growing again. My anointing might have been taken from me, but I feel it coming back. My calling might have been taken from me, but I feel it coming back. I'm preaching to a saint of God right now that you're just this close to throwing in the towel.
Can I tell you, don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. If you don't get anything else, I say, honey, don't quit. Because that anointing, that power, that Spirit of God, it's moving on you again.
Hallelujah. I'm going to show the devil how much he's a liar right now and preach to somebody who the devil's telling you right now that I'm preaching to everybody else but you. Honey, if I wasn't preaching to you, God wouldn't have brought you into the house of God this morning. I'm telling you, if you didn't still have a calling, if you didn't still have a purpose, then you wouldn't be here. God would have let you die a long time ago. God would have let. But because he recognizes that there's destiny in you, he said, I'll keep them. Hell wants to take them out. Hell wants to put them in the prison cell. But even while they're in prison, I'll let that anointing grow. I'll let that touch of God grow. I'll let power grow in them.
I don't care what the devil said. It ain't over till God says it's over.
My Lord, I know this is simple preaching today, but I feel like I'm literally beating back the forces of hell off of somebody's mind that the devil's doing everything he can to get you to walk away from God. Honey, don't walk away. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. I know you fell down, but get back up again. The Bible tells us that a righteous man falleth seven times, but he gets back up. Come on, Samson. You might have lost your hair, but it's growing back.
Hallelujah. Can I take you to Job chapter 14 and verse 7, where the Bible says, for there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again. This is prophetic right here. And that the tender branch thereof will not cease. I wish I had the time to dissect the prophetic nature of this scripture, but I don't. Go to the next verse and we'll just talk about it in a general sense of our life. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth. You know, that's just old English for saying it was a stump. That's powerful, ain't it? Yo, that's Alabama language right there. Listen, I'm a southern boy. I know all about that. The root thereof die in the old. That's just an old stump, and the stock thereof die in the ground. Look at somebody and say, you old stump. Unless you're sitting by your mother-in-law, then don't say that. Don't say nothing. Don't even look at her. Go to the next verse. Yet through the scent of water, understanding types and shadows. Water is always a type of the Spirit of God in the Old Testament. Yet through the scent of water, it will bud. It will bring forth boughs like a plant. You know what God was saying? I'm the God of secondary succession. Yet through the scent of water, it doesn't matter how long it's been dead. It don't matter who pronounced it dead. Let me preach to somebody on that right there. It don't matter who said it was dead. I don't care who said you were dried up. I don't care who said that you were worthless. I don't care who said you'd never amount to anything. I don't care who said you'd never have a ministry. You could never pray. You could never teach a Bible study. The Bible says when the Spirit of the Lord, when the scent of water gets involved, that dead stump, that dead tree that's been cut down and there's nothing left but a memory of what it used to be yesterday, when the Spirit of God gets involved, it starts growing again. It starts bringing forth. I'm here to tell you today that the answer to coming back is getting in the Spirit of the Almighty God. The answer to your restoration is getting in the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Because when you get in the Holy Ghost, it can bring back to life everything that was dead, everything that had given up. It can bring life again.
I want you to understand this morning what I'm preaching about. Secondary succession happens when there's a good field that is productive
before the time of reaping, a natural disaster such as a fire or a hurricane will happen. Secondary succession is a term that's used when the crop is lost, but as time evolves, the seed has exploded in the heat and been replanted. And as time evolves, after the fire has come through, the harvest will be four times. And I'm giving you numbers that the geologists and things of that sort talk about in this. It comes back four times greater and thicker than it was before the disaster. I don't know if you got what I just said, but I'm telling you, there's hope in that for me. Ooh, help me, Holy Ghost. There's hope in that for you. Because what disaster has destroyed, he's the God of secondary succession. He said, it doesn't matter what took it out. I can bring it back greater than it ever was to begin with. Because you go read your Bible, and the Bible will tell you so that the Philistines that Samson killed at his death was greater than all that he killed in his life. And you think that God is setting you up for failure. Honey, God's not setting you up for failure. God didn't allow you to fall flat on your face for no reason. It was a setup for a four-time greater anointing, for a four-time greater miracle, for a four-time greater breakthrough. All God needs is the stubble that you got on your head for you to be greater than you've ever been. My God, on a Sunday morning, I feel like preaching to somebody and telling you, you're going to be bad news to the devil because you're going to preach, you're going to give more Bible studies. You're going to pray more than you've ever prayed. You're going to be in the spirit more, deeper than you've ever been. But if you just recognize that God can use me as I am.
Hallelujah. Samson recognized the fact that he had failed God. Samson understood what repentance was. Walking around, trapped in a circle, going around and just doing the same thing every day. This vicious cycle of failure. Don't you think for a moment, you know how it is when you sin. Don't think for a moment that every step he took with the grinding stone wasn't misery of him thinking about the failure that he had had in his life. But while Samson's sitting in this failure, God's allowing his hair to grow back. Can I take you to Jeremiah? Jeremiah, the young man that does not feel as if he's able to do the will of God. Jeremiah tells us that he feels incapable. He's but a youth. He's 13 to 16, somewhere in there, years old, maybe 17, 18, in that age bracket, though. He's a young man, and as he's telling God, God, I can't do this. God begins to speak to Jeremiah, which in the Old Testament term is a seer, a prophet. He says, you don't need to worry about that. Why? Because I know the thoughts that I think towards you. And you're telling me what you can't do, but I know what I've already anointed you to do. You're telling me that you're incapable, but I know before you were even in your, this is what you were born for. Ooh, that'll preach. So Jeremiah goes through this, and he's hearing from God in the way, and one of the ways that Old Testament prophets, you know, they saw things and they heard things. And so he's been hearing from God, and in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 11, he gets his first vision that is documented and recorded in the Bible. The word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah, and he asks Jeremiah, Jeremiah, what seest thou? What do you see? Jeremiah, I know that you don't feel like you're capable of doing this, but let me let you look in the spirit for just a moment. What do you see, Jeremiah? And he said, I see the bud or a rod of an almond tree. Well, that doesn't mean much to me, and it doesn't mean much to you because we're removed from that society. But you have to understand that the almond tree was the first tree that would start putting forth buds after wintertime. Jeremiah says, I'm washed up and I'm dead. And there's nothing I can do. I'm just like Job would say it, a stump. But God says,
When you start looking through the eyes of the Spirit, you see this rod of an almond tree. You have to understand that God was preparing Jeremiah to understand that wintertime doesn't last forever and your barren season is not forever. And so you have to understand that when wintertime comes, Jeremiah, when wintertime it comes, Samson, you do get stripped down of everything, but the winter don't last forever. You can look out the windows right now. I was looking at, I don't think they looked like that last week. Them trees. And you can hear me talking, and I can hear some of y'all talking. That pollen's done getting you, ain't it? But why do I have to, and so there's this thing. Why do I have to be stripped down? Why does the almond tree have to go through wintertime? Why do we have to walk through the process of being shaved down to nothing? Why? Let's just be honest. It hurts, number one. It brings shame, number two. Why do I have to go through these seasons? And God wants me to just, if you'll allow me to just walk through this the way I feel like God gave it to me, it would be a lot easier, wouldn't it, if we could be evergreens? I'm green in the summer, green in the fall, green in the winter. And the bark never gets stripped, never lose the leaves. But you have to understand that an evergreen doesn't bear fruit. And if you're going to be an almond tree, you got to go through the stripping season. If you're going to be productive, God has to strip you down to everything. I know you want to be pretty all the time, but if you're always pretty and you don't ever go through that season of wintertime where it's cold and it's hard and you feel like it's just one day and you're going to die, you don't have enough life to make it through the rest of this journey, that's when you have the understanding that God is God, even in the prison house, even in wintertime, even when you've been stripped down to nothing. And my friend, and that's when the true power of God begins to show up in you. And God starts showing that his power is greater than your power. And it's not by your might. And it's not by your strength. And it's not by your intellect. But it's by his Spirit that says, I'll take this almond tree. I'll take somebody that's been stripped down to nothing. And they've been walking around in circles. And I'll let my anointing touch them. And it'll bring forth fruit. And they'll pull down walls and they'll destroy things in the spirit that nobody else could destroy. Honey, you keep trying to hide the fact of what happened in your life. I'm telling Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, that you need to dry your eyes, because what happened before you is the fact that God was showing that it's him all the while. He's showing his power that can bring somebody from the wretches of sin, that can bring somebody from the wretches of defeat and pick them up and put their feet on a solid rock and give them a calling and give them an anointing that no one could even touch or understand. Sometimes we got to walk through that season. What would the story of Samson be if his hair had not been cut? What would the story of Samson be if he had not pulled down the walls? Let me tell you, if you're going to do that, you got to go through the stripping down season. And the truth of the matter is God allows our own human fleshly desires to take us there. God will use your flesh to get more glory. God will use the mistake that you... I'm preaching to somebody right now. God will use the mistake that you made to show his glory stronger than it's ever been in your life. I'm not condoning the mistake. Understand, Brother Phillips is not giving you a license to sin this morning. I hope that you don't take it that way. If you do, you're taking it exactly out of context. But I'm telling you that people fall. People make mistakes. People do dumb stuff, for lack of a better term. That's what makes the grace of God so great. It can pick you up out of whatever it is where you've fallen down, because he is the God of secondary succession. He is the God that raises from the ground little bits of life that have fallen to nothing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. the musicians would come. I'm closing. I've heard preachers preach it incorrectly, that, and please don't take it wrong. If they preach different than this, they're right, I'm wrong. But I've heard guys put Samson in hell because of what he's done. But you go to Hebrews chapter 11, and you start talking about now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And by faith, the elders obtained a good report. And Hebrews is just one big history lesson. And it tells us by faith Moses, and by faith Abraham, and by faith Isaac, and by faith Jacob. And it begins to list all the mighty things that they do. And the writer gets down to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32, and he says, time. I don't have enough time to talk about all of them. I don't have enough time to talk about Gideon. And I don't have enough time to talk about Samson. I don't have enough time to talk. And if you're not careful, you'll read right over that, and you'll miss the fact that a man that we consider his ministry was his greatest failure, and we look at him now, our long religious nose, and we tell him how terrible he was for failing God. But when the writer of Hebrews was coming through, he said it wasn't the failure that mattered. It was the fact that he got back up that mattered. And so through faith, Samson was able to tear down and to destroy the Philistines and destroy a spiritual stronghold. Even though he failed God, even though he'd made mistakes, even though he'd been walking around in a vicious circle, he was still a man of faith. Stand with me if you will. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm preaching to somebody today that's exactly where you've been. You've been, while you're going about your day, you've been walking around in circles. Year in, year out, month in, month out, week in, week out, week out. Church service in, God forbid. Church service out. It's the same vicious cycle. You repent, and you go right back to it. In the grinding house. Vicious cycles. Same cycle of depression. Same cycle of low self-esteem. Ooh, help me, Holy Ghost. Same cycle of family dysfunction. Same cycle. Step after step, boy, what a mess I made. Day in, day out, what a mess I made. I know I'm not preaching to everybody again. Please, everyone that would, unless you're ministry in this church, I want your eyes closed. I don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable. But Samson, the Holy Ghost sent you a word today to tell you to reach up and feel on top of your head, because he's the God of secondary succession. And you don't have to die walking around in circles in the prison house. There's a greater purpose for your life. This is not the end. I just feel like telling somebody that right now in the Holy Ghost. This is not the end. You got dressed this morning. You put on your Sunday best, and you fixed your hair, and you got your bobby pins in, your tie's just right, but down deep inside there's this misery. There's just this conjumbled mess of, you can't, it's chaotic because you can't even make sense of it, because all the stuff that's happened in your life, and you have beat yourself up so hard to where now the devil doesn't even have to worry about you. He's over here messing with somebody else, because you have put yourself now in a bondage in your mind. Look at what I've done. Look at how I failed. I'm telling you right now, these altars are open. This service is for you. Well, why don't we do it like this? I don't want anyone to be uncomfortable. Everyone that would you make your way to an altar? And if you want to just come in and blend in with the crowd, that's fine, Samson. Come on, would you come, church family, would you help me? I want to make it comfortable for a Samson here today that's walking around in circles. I don't want him to leave or her to leave and feel as if this is the end and this is over. And if I don't go to the altar, it's the end. Hey, you can just come in and blend in with the church crowd. But I'm telling you right now, while you're at the altar, if you'll lift your hand, Samson, God will bring you to a place of restitution. Why? Because he's the God of secondary succession. He's the God of restoration. He's the God that puts broken things back together again. Come on, come on. The Holy Ghost is working right now. Yeah, the Holy Ghost is here right now. Come on, why don't you lift your hands and let God have it? Come on, why don't you lift your hand? Come on, I need some brothers here right now. I need some brothers over here right now. Come on. Jesus. Jesus. Somebody sitting in the pews that needs to be up here right now. So why don't you lay your pride down? Why don't you lay your pride to the side and come on, come on, come on. All ye who are weary and heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. Still call. Pick yourself back up. Repent. Go back to the altar. Let God work again. Under them that are in Christ Jesus. Come on, you're called, you're sanctified, you're justified. You've been bought. You've been bought. You've been bought. Come on, the blood of Jesus purchased you. I know you can't stay in your sin. That's not what I'm telling you. You get up. Come on, come out. Come out of the sin. Come out of the prison house. You don't have to be stay. You don't have to stay in this cycle. There's still somebody that hadn't relinquished yet. Come on, would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Would you come to the altar? Would you come lay down your heavy load? Come lay down your burden.
Yeah.
pray with somebody right now that the strength of God would come to them while they're walking in circles, while they're been in this chaotic cycle. Pray right now, Jesus, would you strengthen my brother? Would you give my sister help? Would you give us a revelation of who we are in you? Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost right now.